Book of Acts, chapter 5, we're going to pick up at verse 17. But Acts chapter 5, I'd be reading in Luke, and you guys would be in Acts. And hey, there we go. Book of Acts, chapter 5. Let's go through, we'll just start reading here, and then I might stop here in a second. Then the high priest, verse 17, rose up. And the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and remember they're sad because they don't believe in the resurrection, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel, I like this, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. to me, that's just funny. You know, it really is. It's just funny. You know, they take them, they lock them up in prison because they were preaching about Jesus. But you know something? When God shows up, man, it's good. And He shows up and, hey, you guys leave. And they go walk out of the prison, but none of them knew they walked out of the prison. I don't know whether they walked out or whether God just said, and there you are. I mean, you know, they leave and then and they say, go to the temple, do the same thing you've been doing. And so that's what they did. And then the rulers and all of those guys, you know, the smart ones of the day, go get them. We need to talk to them. They come back and say, they're not there. The prison was all shut up, by the way, you know, because they don't want to lose their head. You know, hey, the prison was locked up, but guess what? They're not there. Matter of fact, old top dog, they're in the temple doing basically what you said not to do. They're over there teaching. You know, so it says, then verse 26, then went the captain with the officers, brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. Well, the tables kind of turned a little bit. And it says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? They wouldn't even say it. And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. You know, after we're into about a year and a half or so since Jesus ascended. And so the church is empowered. People are getting saved. You know, they really thought they'd rid the world of this problem. You know, getting rid of Jesus was going to all this was going to cease. That's really what they had in their mind. We're going to stop the problem. We're going to solve the problem. We're going to get rid of this Jesus that claims He's God, because really and truly, that's what he told them. He said, I and my Father are one. It got them really upset with Him. I think it's in John 8, He tells them, He says, listen, before Abraham was I am. Well, guess who I am was? I am was God. When Moses went down into Egypt, he says, hey, who am I supposed to tell them sent me? He said, I am. Well, when Jesus said that, they got hot with Him. So they figured, hey, we've gotten rid of Jesus, but hey, it just got worse. You know, on our part, it got better. Amen? On their part, they were not seeing the humor in this. You know, people were getting saved. They were adding to the church. The church was growing. It was probably somewhere 10,000-15,000 people. Now, they didn't have a church building, so to speak, like we have. They went from house to house. They met out in fields. They did whatever. They didn't have the nice padded pews. You know, they sat down on the grass and they would meet in houses and have prayer meeting. And then you had, you know, when something's going good, Satan's going to stick his nose in it. You know, if we're on fire for God, Satan's going to, he's got to get up in there and stir a little bit, because he needs to cause some problems. You got to shut that down. So what happens? You got Ananias and Sapphira. They decide, well, you know what? We want to be like Barnabas. Barnabas had sold all of his stuff. Brother Barney's a good guy. And he sold everything, and he'd give it all to the church. And boy, people were liking that, and they were liking him for that. And so Ananias and Sapphira decided, well, you know, we'll do that. There ain't one problem. Now, this is my personal opinion of what probably happened, is they figured, well, we sell this old hunk of ground over here, and we ain't going to get much for it anyway, so we'll give it all to God. And they told him, hey, we're going to give it all to the Lord. It probably sold for a whole lot more than what they thought. Well, we'll keep this back, because this is really what we planned on. Who did they lie to? They lied to God. Be careful. You know, I've run across people. Boy, I tell you what, if God will get me out of this, and I promise I'll be in church every time the door's open. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus. And within 2 days, they're right back where they were. You know, doesn't take long. Listen, God's merciful. It's a good thing He is, because I'd have died a long time ago. You know, there was lots of times I prayed and I said, Lord, You let me get out of this one. Oh, what I can do for You. When I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing, Lord, let me come down, let things go back to normal, and dear God, I'm going to right on with You, brother. You know, I'm going to be right. Didn't take long. I forgot all that. I lied to God. You know, how many of us lie to God every Sunday morning? Oh, we wouldn't do that in the church. Every Sunday night, we wouldn't do that in the church. Let's see. You ever read some of the words you sing? Come on. Oh, how I love Jesus. And boy, we'll tell Him all these things in the song, walk out the door and forget every one of them. Basically, we just lied to God. You know, boy, He's merciful. Now, I understand that. I did go a little out on a limb for that one, okay? I'll hand that one to you, amen? But really and truly, when you think about it, when you sing those songs, if you're singing them from your heart, your worship, we're supposed to stick with it. Yeah. Oh, I mentioned this one this morning. You ever sit here and read this? Church Covenant? Guess what? When you unite with any Baptist church I've ever been to, that covenant, really, if we've taken on, you're promising. But how many of us stick to that?
That, yeah. I went, shh. Bloop, 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 bloop. You know, what's it say on there? Abstain from alcohol. you know, I've done that in the, years ago, okay? Wasn't recently. I'm going to get in too big of trouble here. But really and truly, we need to seriously think about that, because that is exactly what they basically what they did. They lied to the Holy Spirit. And boy, God's merciful. But you know what? God gives us that as examples and says, you know, this could take place. Is it far from God to do? Listen, tell me something. Does God heal people today? Sure He does. Well, then why wouldn't He do this today? Same God, same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to keep that in our minds, really and truly. But listen, the church was growing. Peter and the other apostles were working miracles. Man, it was cruising along. They got arrested. They were persecuted. You know, Satan's going to get involved in things. He's going to stir things for us. And they got persecuted for preaching Jesus. But didn't Jesus tell them that? The book of John, chapter 15, if you want to, you can write it down if you want to. The book of John, chapter 15, verse 20, it says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." Listen, don't you imagine here they are arrested, they're in the common prison. Don't you think that's coming back to memory? Oh, you know, remember that night just before Jesus was crucified? He told us that, hey, the world hated Him. They're going to hate us because we're standing up for Him. Chapter 16 of John, verse 2, He says, "They shall put you out of the synagogue." Boy, I bet that come home. They went and drug them out of the synagogue. And then He turned around and said, "Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." What was the Apostle Paul doing? He was running around killing Christians, thinking he was doing God's service. All of these things started coming home to these guys. It had more meaning now. You know, Mom said there'd be days like this. You know, she used to tell me, "There'll be days like that." I didn't realize what she meant until at 3 o'clock in the morning I had a squalling baby in the bed with me, and I'm thinking, what did I do wrong? And it come back to home. Mom said there'd be some days like that. You know, I guarantee you they thought about that. Jesus, remember? Hey, I didn't see Peter now. John. Didn't Jesus say this? Well, no, actually, Peter, He said this. You know, you forgot a word. They started remembering all that. It started coming. It started getting a more of a meaning to it. The conflict between living truth and dead traditions. Really and truly, it's an age-old battle that is still raging today. It seriously is. You know, traditions run deep. Do they not? They do. They run deep, big time. Well, we've always done it this way. Well, yeah, but it ain't. That don't make it the gospel. Well, no, it's always. We better stick to what the Bible says. You know, the old covenant and the new covenant. If you go over to Matthew chapter 9, it tells. Well, let's just go over there. Matthew chapter 9. That's a little ways past Genesis. Matthew chapter 9, and verse 14, it says, Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and they shall, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth onto an old garment, for that which is put into fillet up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Listen, it was the old covenant had was gone, but the Pharisees didn't want to release that. We had a new covenant in Jesus Christ after He died on the cross. All of that stuff changed. You didn't have to mix all of that stuff, which they tried to convince the Galatians that you were supposed to mix it. Oh, not only do you trust Jesus for salvation, but you got to have this, you got to have that, and you got to have that. No. Salvation was through Jesus only. And they were teaching this, but what was it doing? It was taking glory away from the Pharisees and away from the Sadducees, those guys that were sad. You see. Four things that we'll see basically in this passage. The truth being attacked. Was the truth not attacked? When we were just reading, what were they in jail for? They were in jail for preaching about Jesus. The truth was being attacked. Is the truth being attacked today? Sure it is. You know, your children especially are told that there is no absolute truth. There is no real absolute truth. It's kind of some truth, but really there's no real absolute. Listen, the Word of God is absolute truth. It's God's Word. And if I don't believe the Word of God from the front to the back, then I just need to quit what I'm doing. And you guys need to go home. Because we're wasting our time. The truth was being attacked. Standing for the faith. Let's look at verse 29. Now Peter says, Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. You know, you got to hand it to these guys. they were standing up. They had determined and they said, We ain't going to back down. And we're talking about the same guy. Peter, he's the spokesman for the bunch, the same one that said, Oh, Lord, I'll die for you. And then when Jesus was in there being beaten and on trial, he was standing out there warming his hands, cussing. Oh, I don't know him. No. Wasn't me, dude. Some woman come up, Yeah, you look like him. Your speech bereath it. No, blankety blank, blank, blank. Now here Peter stands. Oh, don't forget, Brother Mike. You mentioned Peter. At least we wasn't like Peter going fishing the other day. When me and him was fishing, he said, Well, we're not like Peter. I said, No, we're going to church tonight. You know, Peter says, Hey, I'm going fishing. I'm tired of this. We're heading out. You know, hey, you got to hand it to him now. Here he stands up, possibly fixing to die. He says, yo, we'd rather obey God than man. You know, that took some doing. You got to ask yourself, they come busting through the doors tonight. We'll pick on the UN. I think we ought to get out of the UN. By the way, this will end up on the sermon audio. I think we should have got out of the UN years ago. But anyway, if they come busting in the doors tonight, are we willing to stand up and say, you know what, do whatever you want to do because we're going to stand up for God? You know, I want to hope that it's there. Jesus says He'll give us what we need when we need it. Listen, if Martin, If Jesus gave us all we need to carry on right now, me and you couldn't fit through the door. Our heads would swell. You know, they wouldn't make a cowboy hat big enough for me. He gives it to you as you need it. But He says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I believe that. You know, the church and the apostles, they took a stand for the truth. They were obeying God and trusted Him. You know, they were ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that we are ambassadors. Listen, they're not diplomats. They're ambassadors. They stood up for... You know, now you get diplomatical with things, you can change some things. Well, you know, we can compromise here. We can compromise. Ambassadors don't do that. They stand up for what they're representing. You know, in these foreign countries, hey, I'm an American. This is what we represent. And, no, I better not say that. And so I'll leave that one alone. But listen, we're ambassadors for Christ. They were ambassadors for Christ. They were standing, and that's what we've got to do. God did, and He will honor when we do that. He really will. He took care of them. He gave them the faith and courage that they needed. By the way, they pleased God, not people. We're not to be people pleasers. You know, we're really not. They got preachers today in churches, in order to make this pocketbook fatter, they'll compromise. They won't preach what... I had a couple of guys come to me one time, and they were looking at me for pastoring their church, and they come to me, and honestly, this is what they told me. We like your preaching. Boy, you preach the gospel, but now we can't be preaching on money. We don't go for that at the church. I said, I'm not a big preacher on money. I said, but let me put it to you this way. I said, I preach whatever God lays on my heart. They didn't call me back, but anyway. and I hadn't preached there since. You know, listen, I don't please men. I preach what God lays on my heart to preach. And sometimes my delivery may not be the best. But I'm just, God enables me to do it. So I just do it. But I tell you what God wants. If you're ever in a church and the preacher bends for these people, you don't need to be there. We don't need to compromise. We've got to stand up. These guys were not compromising. They were standing for the truth. They were sticking up to it. They were staying with the truth. And that's important for us to do. Verse 30 says, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him." Basically, listen, if you do what Jesus asked you to do, you get the Holy Ghost, is what He said. In other words, if you get saved, you're going to get the Holy Ghost. And then you stand up and do just what we're doing. You won't be on that side of the platform. You'll be over here. You know, that's really what they were saying. But now, avoiding the truth. These people were avoiding the truth. Not the apostles, but the other people. Look at verse 34. Verse 33. It says, "And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them." They got angry. They're like, "Oh, did you hear what he said? He said, we're the ones that did it." He trying to take it all away from them. Well, they were prideful people. The Pharisees, they were top dogs. You know, they liked being top dogs. And it cut them because, listen, they knew it. They knew it was truth. They watched the guy get healed there a few chapters back. They knew he'd been crippled from birth. They knew Jesus, Peter was preaching the right thing. They truly understand what they had done. They knew that. But the truth hurts. So what do you do when the truth hurts? You avoid the truth. Either that, you either get it right or you avoid the truth. These guys want to avoid the truth. Oh, but then it says, then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel. That sounds good, Gamaliel. My wife looked at me and smiled. I must have said it right, Gamaliel. You know, they were ready. They said, let's kill him. Oh, but then all of a sudden, Gamaliel stands up and says, hey, listen up, dudes. Now, I want you to think about something. For the Sadducees to listen to a Pharisee, he must have been a pretty popular fellow. This guy was very good. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a scholar, highly respected by the people. The Apostle Paul sat at the feet of him and was learned. That's where he got his schooling, by this guy. This guy says, he was a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. You know, now, I don't know. He was a kind of a liberal type fella. I think God used him because really he was just avoiding the truth. He knew that these guys were of God. He knew the things they were doing had to be a goat. So he gives them this excuse. He says, hey, he said, we had some people that come about and they fell apart. We had some other guys come about and they dispersed, they fell apart. Listen, if these guys are of God, you don't want to mess with them. He said, let's give them a little time. He didn't tell them how much time. Let's give them a little time. He's avoiding the fact that it was truth. But that's what people do. They avoid all of that. The United States avoids all of that. They know it's true. They know our country's built on God. Amen? Yes, they do. They know. But they avoid it. You know, we like to jump on our current president, and he don't help matters none. But listen, it's been going on for how many years that they've been avoiding this? They've been avoiding the truth for years and years and years. Even why Ronald Reagan, which as far as I'm concerned, is probably the best president we've ever had, from George Washington anyway. But they were avoiding the truth then because all of this mess has been going on. We've been avoiding the truth for years and years. And that's what these guys did. They avoided the truth. They wanted to do away with it. They wanted to get rid of that truth. The church, though, did what? They kept on preaching. Let's look at verse 40. It says, and to him they agreed, what Gamaliel had said, we're going to agree with you. We're going to let them go. And he said, to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, you know, they had to give them a little taste of it, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now listen, we're going to whip you, and then you go out, you do not speak in the name of Jesus, bye. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They kept on doing it. Listen, guys, we are not going to listen to you. We ain't gonna worry about you. We'd rather obey God than man. And really, that's what we've got to do. We've got to do that. Neither threats or beatings kept them from being a witness for Christ. Let's read one verse, go over to Matthew, and we're going to close. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. If you don't, you can write it down. Well, 17, 18. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, Jesus told him that he was the Son of God. And then Jesus said, I say unto thee, Peter, that thou art Peter. In other words, you little pebble, Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Jesus is the rock that he built the church on. Peter says, Jesus said, who do you say I am? Peter says, well, you're the Son of God. He said, well, God revealed this to you. It ain't flesh and blood. And he said, Peter, on this rock I'm going to build my church. But here's the best part. He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know what? We're going to take a stand for the Lord Jesus. And it may look grim and gruesome. One of these days, if Jesus tarries, we're going to be, we may be hiding underground to do what we're doing. I don't know if it'll ever come to that. It sure looks like it might. But you know what? Yeah, have some ammo. But you know what? The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Jesus said it would not. It might look grim and gruesome sometimes. Sometimes you think, where's everybody at? But the gates of hell won't prevail against the church. We can overcome all of these things through Jesus. We can have the strength we need through Jesus. Just like Peter. Listen, Peter might have been a big, strong, burly fisherman guy. I'm sure he was. But he wasn't nothing without Jesus. And that's what we got to have. Let's stand.